Until the movie District 9 came out a couple of years ago, the term South African science fiction was pretty much a null set for most of us. But District 9 was one of the best sci-fi films of the decade. A very realistic story about what would happen if a spaceship full of insecty alien creatures finally did show up here on Earth. So I was intrigued when I discovered that the winner of this year's Arthur C. Clarke Award, pretty much the Pulitzer of science fiction, is a writer from South Africa. The book is called Zoo City. It's a noir crime novel set in a world very much like ours, but in one big way, not. The author is Lauren Bucus, and she's here with me now. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
So most people still think, I think, that science fiction means the future. If I'm not mistaken, Zoo City takes place more or less nowish.
It does. I think science fiction is a very broad church, and it can mean a lot of things. And a lot of people imagine that it means space aliens and alien invasion. And it's just a kind of a way of exploring the world and putting a twist on the world as we know it.
And are you comfortable with science fiction? I know there's an ongoing debate in these worlds of writers between imaginative fiction and speculative fiction and fantasy and science fiction and science fiction fantasy. Do you care?
I find the whole genre wars very painful. I find it as painful as kind of the artificial war between creationists and atheists. You know, I think most people read what they want to read.
That's a real wall.
But you know what? It's mainly characterized by loud voices on either side, and most of us fall in the middle.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same with genre. Most of us read what we want to read, and we don't worry too much about the classifications.
Right. And when people say to you, oh, that's nice, you write science fiction. I don't read science fiction. What is your comeback?
It's a tough one. I do get that. And I think my comeback is that it's a way of examining issues that we're very tired of. We get issue fatigue. You know, we don't want to hear about the war in Afghanistan and refugees in the DRC, and it's too much to deal with.
Right.
And science fiction and story is a way of kind of putting a twist on that you can actually, that makes it accessible, that makes it personal, that makes it a story you can relate to. So, yeah, I try and sell people on kind of more the noir elements.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that it's this crazy detective story.
Right, that it is. So Zoo City, explain who the people, like the narrator, are, who are called zoos.
Well, something has happened in this world. No one's quite sure. It's been kind of an ontological shift. And criminals or people who've done very, very bad things are magically bonded to an animal, which kind of appears out of nowhere. And you can tell a criminal because they're walking down the street with a rhino or an anteater or a sparrow, whatever it is. And it immediately stigmatizes them. It's like a furry scarlet letter. And Zinzi December is a woman with a bad drug habit, which she's trying to get over. She's got a prison record for something terrible, which she did. And she has a sloth on her back, which gives her the magical ability to find lost things. And she can kind of trace your lost things from your head and follow them all the way home. And she is asked to find a missing pop star. And it all goes very, very wrong from there.
And all these zoos tend to live together in a kind of segregated, crappy part of Johannesburg where
Absolutely.
This takes place.
Absolutely. In many ways, Zoo City is an apartheid allegory. You know, it's about stigmatization. It's about how we ghettoize people, the same way genre fiction is ghettoized. And, it's about poverty. It's about economics. It's about refugees. It's about xenophobia. It's about living with the burden of the past and trying to come to terms with that.
I mean, did this begin as, oh, I want to write an allegory about the apartheid of my country, South Africa, but I don't want to have it be about race?
No, I think that was much more my first book, Moxieland,
yeah,
which is very much a corporate apartheid state. Zoo City is, it started with an image. I had a very strong image, which developed almost like a Polaroid in the back of my head, of a young woman walking into a tenement slum, going to the cupboard and pulling a sloth out and kind of putting it on like a backpack. And I knew that it was at once a terrible burden, but also the possibility of redemption. And I kind of started to figure it out from there.
And were you, as you started to figure this out as a story, aware of, did you do research into all of the various folkloric versions of the animal familiar and all that stuff Definitely. For thousands of years?
Yeah, you know, like a lot of people are like, oh, well, that's very Philip Pullman. But the fact is that we've had animalistic and totem animals and animal familiars for a very long time. From the ancient Hebrew scapegoat, which was literally a goat that you put your sins into and then sacrificed, through to the idea of Mashavi, which is a South African idea, which is that ancestor worship is a big thing in South Africa. And sometimes the spirits of the ancestors get lost. And sometimes those lost spirits attach themselves to an animal, which could then attach itself to a person.
You when you were describing the premise earlier, you said, and magically attached to these animals. It's never clear if it's magic or if there's simply some undiscovered, perfectly rational scientific explanation for these connections.
I think, you know, some people get frustrated that the novel doesn't have clear set answers to everything. But you know what? The world we live in doesn't. We all have different theories. Right. We all have major different religions. None of us knows what happens after we die. We have theories.
Right.
And that's something I wanted to reflect in the book, a whole bunch of different theories. And I wanted the reader to bring their own theories as well.
Uh-huh. The South African movie, which I mentioned, District 9, had alien creatures. You have these maybe magical human beings. But in this book, like in that movie, race hardly figures explicitly. Is science fiction in part a way to actually imagine and talk and think about a post-racial society, or is the race there as an allegorical thing all the way?
Look, I think District 9 was problematic in many ways, with the Nigerian depiction in particular. But it was specifically about refugees and xenophobia.
How is that problematic?
The fact that he, unfortunately, the fact that the alien shagging, drug dealing, body part hacking off people were specifically name checked as Nigerian. And I think he could have totally got around that by just giving them a gang name. And I think that reinforced xenophobia, which was a big problem in South Africa.
Oh, the anti-Nigerian xenophobia
yeah.
in South Africa.
Mm. And which is a huge problem. And it was interesting also because it was being filmed at the time of the xenophobic attacks in 2008 when a lot of black South Africans rose up and attacked black foreigners, which was very traumatic and devastating. And of course that all ties into economic issues and poverty and inequality and lack of opportunity and all kinds of things, you know, deep social rot.
Which in Zoo City you deal with as the milieu but not so much as the story.
No, you know what, it was... And I'm always interested when people say that they don't see race issues in the book. I think it's not explicit. I think it's so much part of the experience that I didn't think to comment on it specifically.
Uh-huh.
But I do think that's also an experience of post-democratic South Africa. But of course, we're still dealing with the legacy of apartheid, and that's f***ed up a lot of people.
As a white South African, how did you approach writing in the voice of a black character in the first person?
It's what a fiction writer does, but it was certainly something I was worried about. You know, writing outside, I mean, writers do it all the time. We write outside our gender, we write outside our experience. But race is obviously very provocative in South Africa. So one of the things that I did was I approached a novelist friend of mine, Zukiswa Wana, who was up for the Commonwealth Prize recently, and I asked her to do a cultural edit to make sure that I wasn't doing...
That Zinzi December was... real enough.
Exactly. And it was interesting because she sent me about 5 pages of notes and there was amazing stuff like she said, no, she would never smoke a Stuyvesant cigarette. The cigarettes you buy on the street in Johannesburg are Remington Gold. And I was like, oh, that's great. That's amazing. I'm going to change that. And I got to the end of her notes and I was like, oh, but, and I phoned her up and I was like, dude, you haven't answered my main question. And she was like, well, what's your main question? I'm like, well, is Zinzi black enough? And she laughed at me. And she said, what is black enough? There are so many different ways of being black. Is she Zinzi enough? Yes. And that's really what you need to worry about.
Was there a single moment when you were young or younger when you realized I'm going to be a fiction writer? And was it I'm going to be a science fiction writer?
I was 5 years old. I was reading a lot of Enid Blyton. And then somebody told me that Enid Blyton had made £1 million from her writing.
Who is she?
She's a very famous British children's writer. She wrote The Famous Five and The Secret Seven and all kinds of high adventure stuff. And it never occurred to me that it could be a viable career. It wasn't so much the fact that she was rich off it, but the fact that you actually could get paid money to make stuff up.
There was no J.K. Rowling yet.
Yeah, no, there was no J.K. Rowling. But that would have been a really good inspiration as well. So yeah, and I read a lot of science fiction. My next book is not necessarily going to be science fiction. I'd like to position myself as a kind of a Margaret, along the same lines as Margaret Atwood or David Mitchell, who write what they want to write.
Who write literary fiction sometimes in a science fictional mode.
Absolutely.
And do you intend to spend the rest of your life in South Africa?
I think so. It is an incredibly rich and interesting place. It's incredibly inspiring, and it is home, and home is deep-rooted. And it's also a country that I believe in. I believe that we can pull through all our problems. We can get through the legacy of apartheid and try and build a better South Africa. And I think what always surprises me is South Africa's ability to reconcile. And that's something I was also trying to explore with Zoo City. When our apartheid Nationalist Party president died, the ANC actually had a state funeral for him. And I was like, what are you doing? He was this racist, awful human being who nearly tore the entire country apart. But they were able to reach out and offer that gesture of reconciliation. And that was amazing to me, that we have that capacity for forgiveness and that capacity to reach out.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kurt.
Lauren Buick's new novel is called Zoo City. It recently won the biggest prize in science fiction, the Arthur C. Clarke Award. And you can hear her reading from the novel at studio360.org.